Blog Talk Radio.
Golden, golden, living my life like it's golden. Oh yes, I am graced myself with the presence of the goddess, Dr. Jewel. She's in the house right here on the Dr. Jewel Hour, right here on thejewelnetwork.com. We are justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. Now, let me let you know, it brings us great pleasure to be alive at this juncture of advancement for civilization. The time is here where high-quality information for those ready to metamorphize into their next phase of growth and development is upon us. We have been inspired by the findings from personal research as well as from data shared with us from the wisdom and intellect of others that a cohesive, fact-finding, truth-emanating, high-tech, continuous stream of transformative information is made available to the world at this time, especially right here on the Jewel Network. Isn't that true, Dr. Jewel?
Yes, and hi, everyone. How are you? And I'm so glad to basically be back today. And thank you. Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here every Monday evening for my show. And I'm just, I've been gone over the weekend to the Advanced Balancing Workshop. And I tell you, the Advanced Discipline Balancing Workshop, it was just great. You know, R.A., this is the first time you've missed one. You know, you've been at every session. And I tell you, of course, we missed you. And it was wonderful to sit with a room full of balanced people.
Wow.
I'll say, I can't even describe it. I don't have words for it, you know. It's not as though we were serene because we weren't that. You know, we were just in sync. That's all I can say. It's like looking at a group of birds all flying in the same direction, you know.
Right.
I mean, we were just in sync. Even though everybody was themselves, you know, nobody was attached like an appendage, you know, no codependency and whatever else. We were just all in sync, and it was just really, really, really nice. So it was so funny. We had one individual who, and I really want to talk about that, R.A., we had one individual who has balanced in 100 days. That is the shortest ever. I'm telling you that, you know, Mother Nature is like, okay, last call because I'm shifting, and everybody that can get their brains together that even want to try, I'm helping you to shift. We've never had anybody. I mean, that's just a little beyond 3 months. And they did not start, you know, with, you know, very high emotional coefficients. And I mean, they have just breeze through here, and 100 days, they are balanced and on into the locking process. I was like, wow. Look, I'm telling you, in the 80s, the 90s, it was taking people, some people, 5 years to balance. Do you understand? 5 years to become balanced and locked. And now we have people, and I've watched that over this 25-year period of working with this program, that people have moved from 5 years, you know, three. It was normally usually about a year and a half, okay, so it seemed to really be. And now it started happening, you know, in a year. Now it started happening in about 9 months, so 9 months to a year. It stayed that way for a while. And now, boom, here comes the big rush, 100 days. And they are already balanced in the locking process. That is incredible. That is really incredible. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Well, I see that. That means that there are shifts and changes that are on their way. Biggies.
That means the dormant neurons want to wake up. They're tired of being dormant.
Yeah, and dormant, and also, too, that, you know, it's a preparation. It's just like, you know, a premature rupture of the membrane. When, you know, we used to have women with their bag of waters would break 7 months in pregnancy, et cetera. I'm telling you, we didn't have all the fancy paraphernalia, and there was no such thing as, you know, a neonatology medicine. Oh, no. I mean, because that, you know, that was rare, but we knew one thing, that if those bag of waters broke and if we could keep that fetus in the uterus for what? 72 hours, that baby would be born with full developed lungs and move right on, even though it was only 7 months gestation.
Mm.
As long as the mother, we could keep her afebrile, which means that without fever, which would be an early sign of some type of infection or bacterial growth, as long as we could keep that uterine cavity free of bacteria, where we had indications that there might be some type of infection or inflammation going on, that baby's lungs in 72 hours would be mature. Now, I'm telling you, I had a situation where this lady, a patient of mine, her bag of waters broke just a little after 6.5 months. And at that time, they were like, okay, you might as well forget this, you know, just let her go on into labor, and, you know, we just move on. This lady put everything at stake. This was her only pregnancy. She had fibroids that were almost big as I was. And they told her that she could never conceive. And they wanted to do a hysterectomy on her for almost 2 years, and she refused because she believed that she could get pregnant. I'm telling you, her uterus was already the size of a 9-month pregnancy just because of tumors.
Wow.
And she believed that she could get impregnated. Do you know that woman got pregnant? She got pregnant, and I tell you that to do an ultrasound on her uterus, it looked like the Grand Canyon. Just all of these folds and ridges because of all the tumor, and then you found one big lump, and in there was this little teeny fetus just growing. And they told her that she was not going to be able to carry that baby to term, that she would probably, you know, lose the baby in the first 3 months of pregnancy. She moved right on 4 months, 5 months, and then 6.5 months, her waters broke. Well, their thing is that, well, too bad. And, you know, just let the baby be born, you know, miscarry, and then we'll go ahead and do the hysterectomy. Well, her thing was that she felt that this baby was going to be viable. It was her only chance, and she said that, you know, do everything you can for me, and, you know, to make sure this baby lives, and it doesn't matter, then you can take the uterus. Well, it really put me in a very vicarious position because I, at that time, was the senior resident. I wasn't even chief resident then. I was a senior resident. And so, therefore, even though I was seeing her as a clinic patient, I still had staff over me. And the staff person was very indifferent. It doesn't matter to him, you know, just let her go ahead and deliver, and, you know, we'll then schedule for hysterectomy. And she said, you know, she just begged me. And I was like, well, okay, this is how we have to work this, okay? I cannot write the orders at this point to do any of this other than what the staff is going to write. But I can say this, that if you only do what I say, and if it's not in alignment with the staff, then therefore they can keep you in the hospital, and then we'll have to work from there. So I just really put my mind on this, and I said, okay, well, if we can keep her, you know, afebrile, which means without fever, for 72 hours, we know we have a chance to save this baby. So I said, let us do this. So he said, okay, well, we'll try for the first 24 hours and see what happens, because her little uterus started to have little spasms as though it was trying to, you know, go into labor. So at that time, we didn't even have the sophistication of the pharmaceuticals that are available now to suppress labor. We only were using alcohol. We were using ethanol, alcohol, IV alcohol. So these mothers were basically getting IV alcohol. Can you imagine? You know, I'm sure any person who's addicted to alcohol would love that, IV alcohol. So we were running a dilute drip of IV alcohol And, of course, what's the side effect of that? They'd get too relaxed, and then the blood pressure would go down. So, I mean, it was a really stay-by-your-bedside titration-type activity. And so it required me to spend a lot of time with her. The nurses, I could not believe it. The nurses went AOL. They went AWOL. Their thing is that we don't even understand why you're putting this patient through this. You know, you see how it's just making her so lethargic, and you know that she's going to lose this baby, and I don't know why you're doing that, and we are not even going to administer her IV alcohol. And I was like, wow. You know, I mean, that was just totally atypical that the nurses are going to get defiant with the doctor. Even though I'm the senior resident, they're going to get defiant. And I was like, wow, I could not believe it. That these are nurses, these are women. This is a woman who's had serious uterine disease and is trying to salvage one pregnancy. And these women would not support her. And I was like, okay, no problem. Now I have my own family and whatever else, but I said I'm going to roll up my sleeves and we're going to focus on this life. So I said, no problem. I went into the drug cabinets. I made up her ethanol drip. And I hung it and monitored it myself. I had to stay by her bedside probably about 18 hours doing this. I tell you, when they just said, oh, well, you know, look, we don't know what's going to happen here. We're not trusting this. So, you know, let's roll upstairs and get her ready for a hysterectomy. And I'm like, you know, you're going to do a hysterectomy with the baby still viable in there? Well, it's going to die anyway. You know, it's not going to have lung maturity. I just couldn't believe that I was in this place called a hospital where we're supposed to be devoted to life under all circumstances. I mean, I was like, wow, this is like a bad nightmare. So anyway, I had to advise the patient, do not sign the operating consent form. Don't sign it. You do not sign it until I tell you. So, therefore, everybody else was trying to get her to sign the surgical consent form, and she did exactly as I said. She didn't. So, therefore, I said, when I tell you to sign it, then, you know, we'll go upstairs and, you know, we'll do the best we can. So, right at 72 hours, RA, I had her sign the surgical consent form. Then we had to prep her, get her ready for surgery, whatever else, et cetera. And I tell you, when I cut into that uterus, first of all, I had to figure out which part of the uterus I should incise because there were so many tumors. So, of course, I did this. I just did the squeeze test. And that sounds funny, but I just started squeezing on them because I figured, well, okay, wherever the fetus is, it's going to recoil and it's going to kick back. Okay, but we looked at the baby by ultrasound. It seemed to be okay. Squeezed on this tumor that was the size of an ostrich egg. Okay, and I squeezed on that, and the little baby kicked back. And I was like, okay, this is where we need to go. I incised it, and it opened up, and the little fluid, amniotic fluid, came out. And this little 2-pound baby floated right into my hand, a little girl. A 2-pound baby.
Wow.
She floated right into my hands. And I tell you, she was such a trooper. That little baby took a deep breath and screamed to the top of her lungs. I was like, you're in here raging like you're 12 pounds. This is a little 2-year-old fetus. She screamed to the top of her lungs. And I tell you, she never looked back. We had the neonatologist there, and we had the special incubator, and she was, everything was ready to intubate her and to try to, you know, work with her lungs. And I tell you, that little girl screamed to the top of her lungs, and she breathed like she weighed 12 pounds and was 42 weeks mature. And she never, ever needed not one respirator. She never needed oxygen or anything. They just detained her in the hospital until she gained 5 pounds, and she went home with her mother. That little baby is 6 feet tall. She plays basketball. Do you hear me? She's 6 feet tall, plays basketball, graduated from college, everything.
Wow. That's a story.
Oh, yeah, and they did everything to whisk her off of this planet before she even had a choice. And, you know, of course, you know, the thing is that, you know, if you have to cut into tumor, you can't sew tumor back. I mean, it's like, you know, it doesn't even have the consistency and the stability of a cotton ball. At least if you cut into a cotton ball, you can sew it back and it'll hold fairly well the stitch. Tumor doesn't do that. It's true. Tumor doesn't do that. So, yeah, so we had to remove her uterus. And as I said, the uterus weighed exactly 12 pounds and filled the size of an average face bowl.
12-pound tumor?
That's right.
Wow.
And in that 12-pound tumor was this little teeny little baby who turned out to play basketball and 6 feet tall. And so...
Let me let you know that, yes, you are listening to the Dr. Jewel Hour. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Jewel got some stories to share right here on the JewelNetwork.com. Justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. And please let your people know, 347-215-9531 to call in. And if you want to raise your hand to ask questions during Q&A time, hit number one. That number once again, 347-215-9531. Press one to show your hand, and then we can come to you. Or if you have questions, make sure you write them in the chat room. I'm watching. Yes. And how much, there's a quick question. How does a normal tumor weigh? How much does a normal tumor weigh?
That's a good question, because there's no such thing.
There is no such thing as a normal tumor, huh? No tumor is normal.
Right, exactly. Okay, so therefore, you know, you don't want a tumor. You don't care whether it weighs a half an ounce or 50 pounds. You don't want a tumor. So there's no such thing as a normal tumor weight, okay?
But so define tumor. How would you define tumor?
Oh, this is a collection of abnormal tissue in a abnormal tissue in a space of normal tissue activity. That's what a tumor is, and it is encapsulated. That is, it's isolated and separated to itself. So this it was in the uterus, and these kind of tumors in the uterus are quite fibrous, rubbery. Similar to scar tissue, it's not the muscle type tissue that can contract and expand and return back to its size and shape. It doesn't do that. So this is an aberration of the muscle fiber, which is what happens in uterine fibroid. So the muscle fiber becomes fibrous and distorted, and it causes lots of problems. But in this case, there's no uterus that should weigh 12 pounds unless it has at least 9 to 10 pound fetus in it. But this muscle, literally that's what the uterus is, was just all tumor except for this little 2 pound baby. But I tell you this story to say that even though this lady did not have a balanced brain, she had one of the great capabilities that you have when you acquire a balanced brain, and that is the capacity to focus. Because whatever you can focus on, you can experience. And she, as I told you the story, she was relentless. She didn't let anyone tell her that because of the deformity of her uterus, you know, she didn't let anyone tell her that, you know, because it appeared as though she was, you know, infertile, that she was not going to have a child. And she held the focus, she held the focus, she held the focus, and in the face, in the presence of all of that disease, she manifested her reality. Now, if you can just understand that with a 5% brain function stimulated by a construct that is infantile, fearful, believes in lack, and is insecure, known as the personality, that in all of that neurologic capability and, should I say, activity, that she was able to hold a focus to be able to manifest a phenomena that no one in her surroundings even supported and believed in. We have to understand that the capacity to concentrate like that, where even your surroundings don't support you, your surroundings mm-hmm. refuse to hold the vision, your surroundings are castigating you, and you know, not supporting you, and you are still able to see your reality. That is what we call a still mind. That is a mind that basically can create any reality above all other opinions, above all other individuals who think they know it all. She manifested an exceptional experience, not only for herself, but for everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For everyone. I mean, do you understand that? Even for me, to recognize that in all of this abnormal environment, that this little perfect 2-pound baby could exist. And then over the years, to watch it grow to be even superior to most of humanity. I mean, you know, most women are not 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't start out weighing 2 pounds and only being 6.5 months of age at birth, uterine gestation. So, but this is what a determined, focused mind could collapse into their reality. And this was not a balanced brain. But this was a person who decided to go beyond the construct nurtured by a collection of neurons known as a neural net that contain the thoughts of the construct we call a personality. She went outside of that area of her brain and held her awareness there in an uncontaminated area of her brain. She put that picture of having a baby there, and she did not withdraw her focus. Do you understand? And it's so interesting because I was like, wow, she could be told over and over again that she's infertile, that she can be told that she can never have children, she can be told that her uterus is too diseased, and she could hold the focus that is not going to inhibit her from her desire. And I was like, now, just think that if she had a balanced brain, if her brain had been balanced, that she could have had that baby and kept her uterus too.
So that's the benefit of you hanging out. You hanging out this weekend with other balanced brains where it wasn't such, you know, contrast, because so many people don't have the balance of the brain or the active neurons, but you were surrounded with other folks that have activated the dormant neurons, and you were in a whole group setting environment like that, and that was the beauty of it. And just hearing about just one balanced or one brain with, what did you say, she still had fear and other, but
right.
She maintained her focus throughout her fear, and she still had a 2-pound baby.
Yes, that's correct. That's right. And like I said, if she had even more neurons activated, she could have seen in her picture not only to have this baby, but also that she was not going to have a hysterectomy.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's the advantage of having more neurons, because your picture, your desire becomes so complete that you don't create, if you're wise, any sacrifice or any limitation, and you can see the whole picture and have it. See, so it's kind of like a lens, okay? And in your mind's eye, if the lens is only open a little bit, then you can only see so much of the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you dilate the lens more, you can see more of the picture. And if you dilate it more, you can see more and more. And so literally that's what the balancing program does. It acts as literally the dilator mechanism on a lens, so that you have access to more brain tissue that can allow you to see more potentials and more possibilities as a selection and as a methodology to handle any experience that you may be in the midst of living.
Handle, overcome, and have your desires come true.
And make choices where it's a win-win. So the baby won, but she lost the uterus. That is the personality construct thinking, because the personality is only a little pea-sized group of neurons that are communicating, and those neurons got hooked together in events that were terrifying, that were very uncomfortable, that all they knew that they were missing something and they needed to get it based on lack. And so, therefore, that construct, those neural nets always see you having to give up something to get something.
Mm.
And they're always making these kind of choices. Polarized thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And that
good
neural
or bad.
Net can, yeah, and that neural net can never allow you to see how what? How you can have it all. You have to have more neurons available where you can see the bigger picture and be able to see the picture benefiting you and everybody else.
Right, right.
Okay,
so
you have to have a bigger screen. You have to have a bigger screen because you have to remember that the neurons also work like the silver screen in a theater. And so when they start firing simultaneously, they actually emit this radiant light that your visions play across. So it's like you're looking at a movie in your head, and you are. That's where the external movie houses really came. They're depicting how the prefrontal cortex of the brain works.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so therefore, those neurons are firing, and when they are firing more intensely and when you have more of them firing, you can see the big picture. So everybody knows that going to the average theater is real different than going to the IMAX theater. And that's the difference between a balanced brain and one that isn't. Is the balanced brain has the panorama view of the IMAX screen. It's three-dimensional. It curves around you. It's just totally encompassing and embracing as opposed to the little flat screen. Okay, that basically you can see the ends. And that's what happens when there's no more screen. You can't see more of the picture, and so you have to make these choices that end at the edge of your screen. And if you have more balanced brain, you don't have an edge to the screen. It's like the IMAX screen. It totally wraps around you, 360-degree vision. You can see the whole thing and make choices from that. There's no lack. There's no limitation. Unless you are still hanging on to the perceptions of the personality. The little teeny construct that's running through a small little 5% area in the brain. So this lady held on her flat screen a powerful picture that no one supported her in, and she still held that picture so intensely that she was able to manifest a whole person, a whole pregnancy, and a normal pregnancy. That's what's so amazing. This was also a normal pregnancy in microcosm because we're talking about a 9-month, 42-week-old fetus is normal and healthy. Here we are, somebody that's just 6.5 months, only weighing 2 pounds, and totally being healthy. That is an intense, vivid capacity to focus.
That is intense. Only 2 pounds. My goodness.
I tell you, she fit it in the palm of my hand. It was amazing. It's a little teeny, so, you know, most people don't even buy baby dolls that little. You know how they used to have the little teeny dolls and you used to go to the store and you could get a little teeny baby doll? Most of the
mm-hmm.
children, when you give them a little doll that size, they just take it and throw it to the corner. They want something that's more their size, you know, that they can, you know, kind of try to walk with and, you know, put, you know, dresses on or whatever else. Nobody wants little teeny babies like that, even though they used to make little baby dolls like that, you know. And I'm telling you, she was just the cutest little thing. You know, she screamed to the top of her lungs, and that girl never looked back, breathed whole air like we were breathing. With those lungs, that Mother Nature matured in 72 hours. You have to remember now, that baby's lungs were not to mature until she was at least 38 weeks. The lungs mature as the last. The lungs are the last organ to mature in pregnancy. That's why so many babies born premature, that's what they die of, lung immaturity.
Wow.
And if we keep that uterus, leave it alone, make sure that nobody's examining the mother over and over again, make sure we keep her well hydrated, and focus that there's no bacteria there to just go berserk, those lungs will mature to ensure that that little life form has a chance to survive. And so what I'm saying here is that with an individual who's balancing in 100 days, it is showing that Mother Nature now, the forces of this planet, are working with anyone who makes any attempt to want to have more brain function to be able to make more complete, wholesome choices, not only for their best interest, but also for the best interest of their entire environment, for the entire planet. So I'm telling you that this being the first day of the new year, the Mayan new year, this is the first day,
yeah,
that is one of the options that you take advantage of. If you thought that January 1st by the Gregorian calendar was the beginning of the new year, well, that's okay. We are compassionate, and we will tolerate your ignorance.
Life is still golden.
Right.
Yes, and it is 30 minutes past top of the hour. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel Hour right here on the JewelNetwork.com. Justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. And please do pass along the phone number 347-215-9531, 347-215-9531, or ask your questions in the chat room. But living your life like it's golden, whether you are born at 2 pounds or not. The here's a question. You keep talking about the uterus. We all come from the uterus. Now, what is the normal weight of the uterus? Is there a weight to the uterus if there's no baby in it?
Oh, yeah. Normally the uterus probably weighs, I would say in non-metric terms, the uterus probably weighs a maximum about a half a pound. Normal what we call non-gravid uterus, about a half a pound, that's all. It's not a very big organ. A small pear. If you looked at a small pear, that's the size of a healthy uterus, non-pregnant.
So when you say uterus, is that separate or is that distinct or is it the same as the womb?
That's correct. The medical term for the womb is uterus, okay? Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, matrix literally is the Latin word for the womb, okay, the matrix, all right? But I want to go back there for a minute and say this because I want my listeners to be very clear here that the ability for us to use all of our brain tissue and to make choices comes from your ability to access information. More so.
Say it again. I'm sorry. Say that again for me.
Yeah, comes from your ability to access information and more so access information about yourself. So therefore, what I'm talking about the fact that, you know, we are ignorant. We are. We ignore
absolutely
the very basics and the very things that are right in our face, right in us, right around us. We ignorant of these things. And therefore, anyone who's ignorant of developing the brain obviously is going to continuously experience limitations in all areas of their life until they resolve that discrepancy. Here you have a head full of brain tissue, and you think it's okay for you to walk around with only 5% of it developed. And so what we see when we do SPECT scans is that, of course, we see, you know, focal areas of brain activity. It lights up, you know, it lights up here and lights up there. And when the individual is doing something, concentrating or using the hands or whatever, we see specific areas that even become brighter. But now what the SPECT scans observationists are not recognizing, what is it like with individuals who have fully balanced brains where the corpus callosum has reached its maturity? They don't even have SPECT scan information on what balanced brains look like, because once they are able to gather this kind of information, they will recognize that these people's brains are brighter, that they have balanced areas in the brain that are luminescent. That means that they're lighting up at the same time in much greater areas and in a greater degree of luminescence than the general population. See, that's what they're going to recognize. And that's why I'm telling you that to be able to bring more light into the brain, the ability to cause the neurons to communicate by connecting, this stimulates the neurons to grow. So if you could actually look at the movie, The Secret Life of Plants, and see how those little teeny little hairs of root fibers, those are the same patterns that the little nerve endings off the dendrites and the axons take to reach out and to grow and to undulate to reach another neuron, another dendrite, another axon that is of the same frequency. So I'm telling you that this is the time to allow yourself to experience your growth and development, to be able to have more control in your outer world by growing more brain tissue. And as you know, RA, it's permanent. It's permanent. There's no reversal. What you have done, you will keep for the rest of your existence. And by surrounding yourself with the proper geometry, you'll continue to grow more neurons, and they will continue to communicate, even at a deeper, deeper, deeper level. So
now,
this is what we talked about.
Let me ask this, Dr. Jewel. Talking about balancing the brain, can I, my euphemism for balancing the brain and discussing it with other people is to say that there is a distinction between the brain. The brain is the muscle, and we have a mind. Our mind is our quote-unquote infinite intelligence or spirit or whatever, but balancing the brain is allowing the brain and mind to commune, to have more communication and get closer, because infinite intelligence, we all have that. That is within us. That's all around us. But our brain needs to take time to interpret or understand or develop, like you say, reach out to the particular neurons of the same frequency. So we have to slow ourselves down enough so that our brain can listen to the mind. Can I say that's what balancing the brain is?
Well, okay, let's be clear, because first of all, we need to really break it down. Now, since we have quantum physics, we can better understand what's going on, and we don't have to be so vague in our description. First of all, everything is light. Now, so let's go to the building blocks here. Everything is light. So the chair, the desk, the microphone, the cell phone, the computer, the magazine, you know,
absolutely,
your a liquid eraser, the lamp, all of this is light in different forms that have taken on these specific geometric formations, and the building blocks of light frequencies are known as photons. And
okay,
these photons even have subphotonic particles that carry energy in unique and different ways, and when they combine in particular patterns and move at particular speeds, This is responsible for everything that we call life in our material world. But it's all light, including the body.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a field of consciousness, which is light, okay, because light is what? Also energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. Energy just changes from one form to another, and, you know, you go on and on through the laws of thermodynamics. So, therefore, we as a field of consciousness of energy have collapsed light particles into taking the formation that we call a physical body based on the template of our thoughts. Now, for some of you, that may be far-reaching because you may say, I don't remember thinking about this body and creating it to look like this. Well, I mean, you know for a fact that, you know, if your body is looking any way other than what you ideally would like for it to look, that is because your thinking changed the original template. Your thinking changed the original template. And we know that. So, I mean, what do you think addiction is? Addiction is where a person changed the template of how their body has been created or how the body normally moves its energy, and you have decided that you have a need to cause it to move energy in a different manner. And you've become accustomed to doing that. That's what happens when you take a drug. You've decided that that energy needs to be moved and shifted differently than what you agreed upon. And because you do this over and over and over again, you become addicted to it. That's what an addiction is. It's a repetitive behavior pattern. And usually that repetitive behavior pattern is a destructive one. Why? Because it constantly and continuously interferes with the normal movement of energy in the systems of the body. So that's what happens. So therefore, you don't remember this, but we know for a fact that you also have parts of the brain that you have not activated. So can you really have a discussion saying that you don't remember creating your body when you are only operating out of 5% brain function? See, this is what is so amazing is that, you know, people want to think that they know themselves. They want to think that they know everything. They want to think that, you know, how they are perceiving an experience, whether it's themselves or something going on around them, is that that's how it really is. But it's like if you increased your brain capacity, you activated 10% more neurons, would you really perceive that experience, perceive that activity, perceive yourself in the same way? And the answer is absolutely no, whether you want to agree to it or not. If we activated 25% of your brain tissue, 50%, that much energy flowing through your brain with that much more information naturally would cause you to and enable you to see events differently, see into events at a different level, have a greater capability of comprehending yourself, your own awareness, much greater if you had more brain tissue. So therefore, you know, it's really interesting because people can admit the fact that, okay, well, I know I'm not using more of my brain. I know I'm not using all my brain. Okay, so if you admit then that you know you're not using all of your brain, then how can you be so assertive and so steadfast in proclaiming that you know who you are and that you know your realities and experiences that are going on around you? How can you do that when you know you have less than optimal full brain capability? So it becomes kind of like an oxymoron, but most people who don't have more brain capacity or more brain developed, they don't even think about that kind of logical, rational thought because they have just made the assumption and become comfortable with how they see it is how it is, even though they recognize they're seeing through a little teeny-weeny hole through the camera. They know they can see all the limitations, all the edges, that's none of the picture, but yet and still, that's how reality is. And so, therefore, that makes it very clear then, how can we form such steadfast opinions? How can we think that we're so right when we can see the edge of the picture ends? And we know that we have less than full brain enhancement and capability. We have to always give ourselves the capacity to recognize that there's more to the picture. We are not able to comprehend it at this time. Not because the picture doesn't exist, and that's what people have been told. Oh, that doesn't even exist. Or you can't do that. Or that's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case at all. It's because you are seeing the end of your picture. And so beyond the end of your picture, you have no vision. You can't perceive anything else because that's all you can see, because that's all the brain tissue you have active, et cetera. And so then over time, you fool yourself and you call that reality and that's it. But that's not true. That's why it's so amazing that even as we grow more brain tissue, and the people that I was with this weekend, they have more active brain tissue than most people. But we recognize that we have to accept a non-polarized attitude about life. Because if we could move from point A to point B and recognize that life is real different at point B, and point B was always available and existed to us, then how can we say that we know it all? Because we know there's also a point C and D and E. Even though we're not there yet, we're not aware of it, there's no reason for us to think that it's not there, because we found out that point B was there with a whole different reality. So we know that we don't know it all, but we know that we will continue to grow and grow and grow and grow. And maybe, if that's possible, one day we will know more.
And that's right. We will know more by listening to the JewelNetwork.com. That's right. Make sure you tell everybody to tune in. The JewelNetwork.com via Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/The Jewel Network. That's where you find us. Make sure you have everybody in your address book, Facebook, tagged, or tweet, or whatever. Hit them all and let them know. TheJewelNetwork.com, where we advance or take you to a higher level of relaxation and understanding of who you really are. And if your friends don't have internet access, give them the phone number. 347-215-9531. 347-215-9531. If you have questions or comments about the show, please, feedback@thejewelnetwork.com. Feedback@thejewelnetwork.com. And we all have blogs, too, so you can check out each of the hosts and their blogs. And if you have comments or questions, you can put them in the chat room. But Dr. Jewel, you had made reference to the uterus, the womb, the matrix, in from which a 2-pound baby came from. And we have choices. We can choose to either have a balanced brain or we can choose to stay ignorant. So we can choose that we want to learn and know more and live a balanced life and not have any boundaries and not confine ourselves and not have the edge of the screen come up. But we can have the full 360 all around the screen in our brain and we can see what we want. That's the balanced brain.
Right.
Yes?
Right. That's correct. And you can do that. That is correct. And it only takes 15 minutes a day. Now, someone asked me earlier about Dr. Emoto, and we've got it very clear here that consciousness leaves an imprint on water, and that imprint takes on the formation of geometry in the form of crystals. So we know that every thought that we think causes a crystalline formation to occur in our blood because, you know, the blood is primarily water. And so can you imagine that some of the things that people are thinking and saying, the crystallization that's occurring in their blood, what their blood must look like? Amazing, isn't it? We can see why they eventually, you know, age and go on and to have diseases, et cetera, because of how they're thinking. Another aspect about water that I thought was very interesting is the fact that we do not really comprehend how important the substance is also in that it is what I call liquid light. Okay, so we have liquid light in the form of water, which is obviously conscious. We know water is very conscious. And there's something that has been discovered that's known as virtual gallons. And because we're having this dilemma with our water supply here on the planet, there's something that's known as virtual water flow. And there are trillions of gallons of virtual water that are transferred in the global trade of what? Agricultural products that are comparable to the volume of water that yearly flows down our rivers, especially, for example, the Congo River. So there are regions that are directly related to beef production, grain production, all these different things. And we can measure how much water industrialized and non-industrialized countries will need via virtual water flow to have the basic things in life that they're used to. And I just want to cite some of these figures to you for you to begin to use some of those new neurons in thinking about yourself relative to the things that are in your environment and looking at them from a different perspective. Now, it says here that the virtual water in cattle, pigs, and fowl, that is, you know, the birds, is the water they drink and the water used to grow their feeds and to clean their waste. Now, it says here that one cow, a steer, consumes 1,857 gallons of water to produce just 1 pound of beef. It takes 1,857 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of beef. It takes 1,382 gallons to produce a pound of sausage. It produces 469 gallons for a chicken. Isn't that something? 589 gallons to produce processed cheese. 379 gallons of water needed to produce a pound of figs. One avocado requires 154 gallons of water. One ear of corn is 109 gallons of water, virtual water flow. One plum is 193 gallons. A cherry, 185 gallons of virtual water flow. Now, this is even more astounding. It takes 2,900 gallons to produce one pair of blue jeans. 2,800 gallons to produce one cotton bed sheet. One cotton t-shirt takes 766 gallons to produce. One hamburger takes 634 gallons to produce. A glass of milk is 54 gallons. One cup of coffee takes 37 gallons of water to produce. A glass of wine, 32 gallons. One glass of beer, 20 gallons. And one cup of tea is 9 gallons of water. This is amazing when you start looking at how much water we use and how much water is necessary to have flowing on this planet for us to have the things that we enjoy and that we eat. One apple is 84 virtual gallons of water to produce. Grapes, one bunch is 78 gallons. An orange, 55 gallons. One strawberry, 33 gallons of water. One cup of yogurt is 138 gallons to produce of water. And now would you understand what has happened in the Gulf of Mexico? There was a huge oil spill. They say it was even worse than the Gulf of Mexico spill here, BP, that happened in China. And they're really trying to keep that under wraps. So we had two great big huge oil spills happening simultaneously in two very important bodies of water. The one in China happened near the Yellow Sea, I think, he said. So here we go now. All this water is becoming contaminated. Okay. And this is the amount of water needed to produce all of these things that you consider just an average life, average living. And I tell you, can you imagine that to have clean water, and it takes 154 gallons of water to produce an avocado. Okay, an orange, 55 gallons, a strawberry, 33, yogurt, 138 gallons, a hamburger, 634 gallons. See, we were starting to see things in a different awareness. See, that's what is wonderful about a brain that is activated and developed, is that you can turn any experience, any manifestation around, just like you're looking at a brilliant cut diamond. Definition, a brilliant cut diamond has a minimal of 360 facets. So that means that diamond has 360 faces that you can know that diamond from. That's a lot of different choices. That's a lot of ways to know one thing. And to recognize that when you eat your hamburger, you are consuming basically 634 gallons of water that was needed to produce this hamburger. 53 gallons, virtual gallons, that's how much water was needed to make one glass of milk. Starbucks, every cup of coffee they serve up, average, it takes 37 gallons of water to make. 37. And you are saying that you have problems, that you have problems picking up on the street that could contaminate your water, that you don't want to pick up the trash or the bottles, et cetera, or make sure that the cigarette butts don't go down the sewer, because this is directly related to all the foods that you are eating and consuming, because this is the water that's needed to even prepare these things for you. So I think it's very important that the next time you go out into your community and you see something that's out of place, a bottle cap, a cigarette butt, a piece of paper, a shoe, a paper bag, oh, and especially the plastic ones, you have to ask yourself, how can I pass this by and leave it here when I know that this is going to, in some way, somehow, get into my water system and perhaps sometime inhibit me from being able to have the things that I enjoy. Can you imagine a cotton bed sheet? It takes 2,800 gallons to make one cotton bed sheet. 2,800 gallons. Blue jeans, 2,900 gallons of water to produce one pair of blue jeans. That is a lot of water that we are consuming, and we act so indifferent about wanting to conserve it and to keep it clean. And but what happens? We do the same thing in our body, because every time we go into polarized thinking, we contaminate the very water in our body that is responsible for making sure that our tissues remain healthy and that the tissues remain in a neutral state, so they can regenerate themselves every day. Every time you polarize your thinking, you inhibit the cells of your body from regenerating, because they're not going to regenerate in a polarized environment. They literally go into a stress mode when that happens. So you keep your tissues in stress, and so therefore they never clean themselves and regenerate, and eventually it just burns them out. So, you know, we have people
asking, you know, polarized thinking. Well, how can I not do that, you know, and why can't I think in a polarized manner? And, you know, they go on and on and on, not recognizing that, you know, your discussion on wanting to remain polarized is really a discussion about how healthy you want to remain, and it's a discussion on whether you're going to become immortal, and it's a discussion on how healthy you're going to be. Isn't that amazing?
We will be healthy because we're living our lives like it's golden. Yes, right here on the Jewel Network. 60 minutes has elapsed. Yes, it's straight up top of the hour right here on the JewelNetwork.com via Blog Talk Radio. Yes, Blog Talk, B-L-O-G, Talk Radio, where you can get justifiably enchanted with enlightened living. TheJewelNetwork.com. Yes, so, Dr. Jewel, this is the last 30 minutes, and there is a question in the chat room just talking about what you're making reference to, asking about, well, how does one maintain neutrality without being carefree? I mean, are we to... I'll just leave it at that. I'll just leave it there.
Well, you know, my question is, what's wrong with being carefree? See, there, the question is even polarized. Okay, because they've made a conclusion, an opinion about being carefree, and so that's a problem.
So carefree is not a problem.
Well, of course not, because that is exactly the state you would be in if you were not stressed.
So wait a minute. You're saying that folks have taken it to the level that stress is normal and we need to be rushed, hurried, stressed, and overly concerned, and it's not natural to be carefree.
Exactly. That's my whole point, because that stressed, untrusting, mistrusting, suspicious, never ever being fulfilled, nothing is ever enough, is the two-year-old personality. And so as long as these individuals want to only use 5% of their brain or less and to remain in the neural net of the personality, to be carefree to the personality is very difficult, because the personality doesn't believe that the environment is supportive of them. The personality doesn't believe that there's enough in the environment for them. The personality doesn't trust that the environment supports their existence. And so as long as a person wants to reside in that minimal 5% of the brain, they're never going to be at peace. They're always going to be polarized, and they're always going to be uncomfortable. It's never going to be enough.
And so when you say polarized, that means there's a right and a wrong. There's either left or right. It can't be both. And so polarized is two opposite ends, as opposed to having a balanced brain where you can see 360 degrees and there is no right and wrong.
If you choose to, yeah, if you choose to. Yes, you have the capacity at that point to see 360 degrees if you choose to. You have that capacity to recognize that it doesn't have to be right or it doesn't have to be wrong. It can just be as I see it.
And so that's the point, that folks have to make the choice to activate the neurons, balance the brain, want to see a full 365, so then when you see all the way around you, there is no polarized thinking. There's no right and wrong. And then you understand universal laws of give and take. So when you walk by the paper and don't pick it up, you're not picking up the environment and taking care of Mother Nature. So then you put that kind of energy out, and that kind of energy comes back. So when you go out, pick up the paper, take care of Mother Nature will give back to you.
Right, because who is Mother Nature? You.
Giving to yourself, getting deep enough into yourself.
I mean,
absolutely.
But your consciousness, I mean, your consciousness and the consciousness of a plant, the consciousness of any animal is
infinite
only
intellect.
It's only separated by your inability to have enough neurons to see the bigger picture.
Mm.
And once you have enough neurons intact, then you recognize that all of these things are you, and you can communicate with all of them, and that you've been all of them. And my work is 7 circuits of the brain. You have a reptilian brain in your brain. You have an avian brain in your brain. You have an insectoid brain in your brain. So
because everything
all
is
all of these things. Yeah, right, but also, too, you have been all of these things and have the neurologic capacity to be one in consciousness with all of these things. You have their brain in your brain. And so, therefore, for you to see these things as foreign and, oh, my God, they're going to eat me up and whatever else, et cetera, is only because those areas of your brain are undeveloped. They're underactive. So this is what I'm saying. You know, you're seeing your world through a little teeny pinhole in the aperture of the camera. And we're asking you to basically dilate the lens. Use the eyeball. Use more of the rods and cones in the retina of the eye. But those rods and cones can't give you the full picture. They can't give you the full feedback if you only have a few neurons activated in the brain. They give you the image that they perceive from the environment, and they relay that to your brain. So it's just like having this camera that is projecting an image on the screen, but the screen is only big as a sheet of paper. But the camera wants to project an image that is the size of an IMAX screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so now only a teeny bit is going to be reflected back to you on that paper. And the rest is going to return back to space because there's no neurons there to capture the information, to capture the image. Do you understand? And so therefore,
yeah.
Since you have not built or in this case activated enough neurons to create an IMAX screen in your prefrontal cortex, all of that information just goes back into space because you don't have any neurons to capture the information. You only have a teeny-weeny 8.5 by 11 sheet of neurons available. And so, therefore, you think that that's all of the picture when that's not even that's not even a thousandth of a picture. But that's all you capture because that's all the neurons you have activated.
You know, Dr. Jewel, I mean, the images that come to mind for me when you talk about this, I mean, on this, the Mayan New Year, I definitely want to say, those that are listening on the Mayan New Year, this is good information because you started out talking about the uterus or the womb, and you said that is, the Latin for that is matrix. Now, in the matrix, when they went to find Neo, I mean, after they found him in this particular world, when they open it, it's like, oh, we have to find them in the, I guess, the consciousness world. And then you saw the rows and rows of all the people in their little cocoons or whatever, and then he was dropped into the water and they reached down and picked him up. We haven't actually opened up our minds enough to see where we really are, that we have the choice to choose to either stay asleep in these beliefs or illusions, or we can choose to wake up and take control of our role in life. Either we choose to activate the neurons or we choose to stay in our belief world or illusions. Which pill will you take, the red pill or the blue pill? That's what I'm hearing when you talk about we have the choice to control our destiny.
No question. And that's a choice everybody makes every day. I see that in the chat someone wrote and said that, you know, some people enjoy being stressed. And I agree, there's not some, a lot. They enjoy being stressed. It's no problem because, again, this is a university and everybody is in their own personal college. And so the college of people who enjoy being stressed exists. And
mm-hmm.
these people go to class, okay, every day by seeing how much drama they can create for themselves. Okay? So these are the drama kings and queens, and, you know, it's always something going on. They always are creating drama, the whole bit. And they're there in the college of stress and drama, learning how many infinite ways that they can finally exhaust the cells of their body, destroy themselves and their brain until they recognize that drama is something by choice. It doesn't have to exist, and that by developing more brain tissue and wanting to be a part of this planet instead of figuring and thinking that, you know, everything is working against them or is not working in their best interest is what the College of Drama has to make a decision about. And when they finally make that decision that they're here by choice, they're not victims, and that everything really is here to support them, and everything can go well because it's also based on their focus and their willingness to get up every day and create a destiny and a reality that they want to walk into every day, they'll graduate. They'll never go to another college. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, yeah, so it's just all about individuals deciding that, you know, a particular way of life and experience, they've had enough of it. They want to get the wisdom, and then they want to move on. And to be able to absorb the wisdom and to be able to move on requires the activation of more neurons. And that's
more
not
neurons.
Done in, right, and that's not done in our present universities at this moment. You know, these things are not included. These basic techniques are not included in the schools and the universities. And so, you know, we can definitely give an infinite number of reasons as to why they are not, but they're not. But so what? That doesn't mean that you have to go around with a brain that is, you know, top heavy and has a whole bunch of data in it on one side and you don't know how to apply it on the other. You can get balanced. And yeah, that's what this is about. So, R.A., you want to just give a rundown of all the shows this week? So everybody can be prepared?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, definitely. And don't forget, please tune in tomorrow when I am on the air with Randy Bruner, Cosmic Hand, It's About Time, right here on thejewelnetwork.com. Tune in at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 11 a.m. Hawaii time, where he's at in Hawaii. And we're talking about It's About Time. And I'm sure he would have some great and wonderful things to talk about. Last week we talked about the day without time, which was yesterday, because today is the first day of the Mayan New Year. So It's About Time, 5 o'clock on Tuesdays. I have my show on Wednesday at 5 p.m. This week we will be finishing up AIDS being made in the laboratory, and then we will go into an interview with Professor Dr. John Henrik Clark. I caught him at 83 years old before he transitioned, and we talked about solutions for the black people. And I have to interject, and, you know, my 2010 brain is much more sophisticated. I have more neurons activated in 2010 than I did in 1998. Thank you, Dr. Jewel, for helping me balance my brain. And then on Thursday, we have, oh my goodness, the author herself of The Third Eye, Sophia Stewart. Sophia Stewart comes on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Jewel Network, and she and I discuss, well, this week we'll be discussing the legalities and the legal issues that she had gone through dealing with copywritten work as a playwright, as a screenplay writer, as an author. She will deal with some of the legal issues that she had to deal with, and also she'll be talking about making Matrix 4. She wants it out by the end of next year, so you got to tune in. I'm not sure how long we'll have her. She's going to go into production making Matrix 4. So those are the shows right here on the Jewel Network. But, Dr. Jewel, there's a question I had to ask you. I want dealing with the Matrix and understanding that. Most people think of the mind inside the brain. Now, is it possible?
No, the mind is a field of energy, and it's everywhere.
That's
so
what I was going to say.
Inside the brain. No,
that's
it's
what
not.
You made that statement.
Your mind is everywhere, and you know can reach the outer limits of all galaxies and universes.
So the body is within the mind.
No question, always has been.
Now, see, that's the
always
concept that folks can't. I mean, can you imagine that your body is inside your mind, and that's why we are all unified. Because all of us have the same mind, and these are just different bodies inside the mind.
Yeah, right. That's the whole point. That's what I'm saying. To perceive something as being separate and not related to you is just because you have limited neuronal capacity of that brain. Because it's actually not true. But it's hard for you to perceive that when you only have so few neurons activated.
Only 5%. But see, when we come out of the matrix, out of the uterus, out of the womb, our mind or our brain is learning to activate how to move the fingers, kick and walk and talk and all of that. And then we only develop a small portion of communication between the brain and mind. Now that we're conscious or cognizant, we have to seek the knowledge and information on how to have the brain understand more about the mind. That's what the balancing program's about, yes?
Well, yeah, and you have to recognize that everybody isn't born with a limited brain function or 5%. There are people who don't become personalities. They really maintain their true identity as being a manifestation of God. They really do. And it would be great if, you know, the mothers on the planet would, you know, learn themselves who they are and be able to raise their children in such a way where they never are exposed to an experience that allows them to begin to create a personality.
Don't just put it on the mothers, put it on the fathers too.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. And parenting, period. But it's just a wonderful thing to know that when you have more brain tissue, that ability is much, much easier. Much, much easier. So, you know, it looks like we're just about through. Do we have anybody on the phone that have any questions?
Okay. I don't see anybody on the phone line with their hand raised. If you have a question for Dr. Jewel, please hit number 1, and then we will come to you and have questions. We have just about 5 or 10 minutes left, Dr. Jewel. Since you had such a lovely weekend, you were out there with all the balanced brain folks, and now you want to... what would you like to do?
Oh, just continue to support as many people as possible in getting balanced brains, joining the balancing program, further developing the Jewel Network so it can reach the far ends of this planet. So we want you to tell as many people as possible to tune in. We're developing more and more of ourselves by increasing our host and our specialties that they will broadcast. Look forward, everybody, to the opening of the TJN e-store, and I'm excited about our upcoming Jewel University that will be available, too, where people can come and take courses and they can buy all the information that we have specific to each one of these colleges that I talk about that people are enrolled in on the planet Earth. But it is a wonderful, wonderful situation to have an expanded brain, and I'm just really glad that I involved myself in that program for almost, well, really over 25 years. You know, what it has done for my brain and my insight is just incredible, I tell you. I love the brain that I have, and I talk to it, and I tell it how much I love it, and, you know, thank you for the insights and for the awareness and for the information that has been given to me. I mean, I told my people on Saturday, I said, you do not recognize yet what has been shared with you, because I have told you, I have verified for you that the only reason why you're not immortal is because you cannot stop thinking in a polarized way. As soon as you're able to sustain a no-thing attitude toward anything that is not aligned with your focus for the day, your destiny for the day, your destiny for the week, for the month, for the year, you'll be able to maintain a neutral bloodstream long enough where the natural immortal genes that you were born with will automatically turn themselves on. You have to understand that why would Mother Earth, the forces of nature, universal law, create a permanent long-term antagonist to life? What would that be about? This planet is dedicated to life forms, to life. And individuals can come here as they are, and their attitude will determine how long they can stay. And so since this planet is dedicated to life and living, entities and individuals who are not will not be able to be here indefinitely. And that's real clear. So someone, you all are now hearing, broadcasting through the Jewel Network, the formula, the actual key, the actual process of becoming immortal.
Nowhere else but right here on the Jewel Network.
Exactly.
We do have a hand raised, Dr. Jewel, if you want
to
take some questions.
All these years it took to balance these neurons, I finally got them hooked up to see this. And I'm like tickle pink because I've wanted to know this information since I was 6 years old, and I am just pleased to share it with you. If you can't run with it, if you don't understand that, obviously you want to know more about it, balance that brain. We'll teach you all the intricacies here. It's okay.
Absolutely.
It's your choice. But for me, I think it's the grandest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm so excited about it, and I just look forward to my many, 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 many hundreds of years on this planet.
You and me both. I ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere without me. I'm right here with you, Dr. Jewel. We got a hand raised. We got area code 917. 917, you're live with Dr. Jewel. What you got to say?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, how you doing? Hi, Dr. Jewel. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And I really enjoy your work.
Enjoy having
your lectures. Thank you very much.
Well,
thank you very much. My question was, I've heard earlier in the show you mentioned about the relationship between the humans and our brain. You were saying how we have a brain like an insect in certain ways, also like a reptile in certain ways, different things. Now, my question is, could you just please expand? Is that some people have a Darwinian understanding that we evolved from that? Others have an idea that that was grafted into the human being. I just want to know, when you say that, could you just please explain where you're coming from with that statement?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It was both. It
okay.
was grafted into the human being, but also it evolved.
Okay.
Okay, because the original beings, as they were originally created, were put on a no-thing, no-timeline for evolution.
Okay.
And so based on how they chose to use their free will and experiences they had, would determine what areas of the brain were available for use, even though ideally, all of it is available for you.
Okay.
And so right now, these areas of the brain are still dormant because in our polarized thinking, we have had no need to turn them on.
Okay. Because I've heard.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because I've heard that said before, and some people say just look at the. I think even you. I've heard you say this. How you say just look at the different stages of development of the fetus, and you see it take on these different forms that are said to be reminiscent of these different stages in our genetic history. So I was
right.
just wondering. Yeah, I was
yeah,
just wondering where you were
like
coming
a,
from with that.
Well, yeah, it's like the Rosette of Julia, okay? And these are golden mean ratios, okay,
mm-hmm.
of geometric formations that are spinning outward into space. And so it's just like our brain cells and our evolution that, you know, we're made of everything and everything is made of us. And so as we've evolved from the single-cell organism to multicellular to waterborne organisms to rise upon land to finally be able to take wing, and all of that has to evolve and unfold until we get to the newest capabilities, which are also specific parts of the brain that allow us to be human versus remain as a fly. Or remain as a fish or a crab or a bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that cycle is played out over and over again. That story is unfolded over and over and over again in everyone's body as they mature to finally take this position on the planet as opposed to anything else.
Excellent,
yeah.
Excellent. 917, thank you for calling in. We got just about three minutes left, Dr. Jewel. There is one question in the chat room talking about how can one be reinstated into the balance program?
Right. Well, all they have to do is write us and let us know they want to be reinstated. And I'm looking at the chat, and it's like, hi, and it's good seeing you again. And I'm glad that you finally have come back to this portion of the galaxy. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
to write us.
Oh, and you can get back in.
Feedback@thejewelnetwork.com is the email. Feedback@thejewelnetwork.com. And let me share this with you. Yes, the Jewel Network e-store launches on Monday, August 2nd, the third revision of Dr. Jewel's Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z with Ethno-Consciousness will be available. Dr. Jewel has totally revised this volume, and it is the required primer for her new coming this fall, Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z for Melanin, for the Human Element of Planet Earth. Also on August 2nd, Dr. Jewel's incredible chat series, Straight from the Heart, has been converted into a book. Dr. Jewel discusses the prostate and new look at cancer, sexuality and bonding, quantum physics, and God, and breaks down the Matrix film, also only as she can, Straight from the Heart. You'll also have Melanology Archives, Randy Cosmic Hand Bruner's Mayan Calendar, thejewelnetwork.com, August 2nd. Make sure you tell all your people, get them to learn more about the Jewel Network and the university that we're producing here. Dr. Jewel, did you have a closing comment in the waning 1 second, 1 minute we have left?
Yeah, as usual, I just want to tell everybody that I love you, I'm you, and you're me, and just enjoy this fabulous opportunity called life and expand those neurons. So join me in the balancing program next year. We'll have our 4 advanced sessions, and we're starting out with the advanced group on a sacred site somewhere on the planet. I love you all, and I will talk to you next Monday, and listen to myself and Dr. Moore on Melanology on Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Thank you all. That's right. And tune in to It's About Time tomorrow, 5 p.m., with Randy Bruner and I. Thank you for tuning in to the Jewel Network. Please email all your people. And if you have questions or comments, feedback@thejewelnetwork.com. Thank you for tuning in. Peace.